thank the Lord. While you're standing, let's go to a text scripture. I'll let you be seated. I'll read you one verse. I'll let you be seated. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 26. And Joab fought against Rabbath of the children of Ammon, those hated enemies of Israel, and took the royal city. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings, your mercies tonight. Lord, I'm so glad that you're in charge of our lives and in control of our lives, for we would mess it up. But Lord, I have faith in you like none other. As David said, I trust in thee only do I trust tonight. I ask that you be with us and guide us through this sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Joab fought. Let me give you the title, and I will read the rest of it, because the title, by the time I get through reading here, you'll forget kind of how the title goes back. So let me give you the title first. A trophy or atrophy? A trophy or atrophy? Use it or lose it? I can dismiss now. I think you got the point. And Joab fought against Rabbath, the children of Ammon, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David. Where is old David? Ah, he's at home. He's at home. And said, I have fought against Rabbath and have taken the city of waters. A very important city. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name, the city of Joab. Are you coming or not? And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbath and fought against it and took it. It's kind of easy now. Joab's already taken it, but just show up if you want the city. And he took the king's crown off of his head, David did. And the weight thereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones. And it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he fought, and he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them to pass through the bricklaying. And he did unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. He made slaves and servants out of them. So David did with all the people that returned unto him at Jerusalem, which was known to be the city of David. Revelation 3 and 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast. Get some gorilla glue to your clown. Your crown. Glue it on your head. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, some other Joab, don't take your crown. Amen. Him that overcometh, gonna be a trophy, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. I wonder if there's any pillars in the church tonight. I hope there's some pillars sitting here. Pillars in the temple of God, and he shall go out no more. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Thank the Lord. I want the Lord to sign my trophy. I want the Lord to sign. You know, people getting baseball signed by all these sluggers. I want the Lord to write his name on me. Hallelujah. I want to be a trophy in heaven. Amen. I want to talk about a trophy or atrophy. Just depends on where you want to put the A. Amen. Let's just call it you, where you want to be. Use it or lose it. The spoil means trophy. When you look up the word trophy, the first thing it says is spoil. The spoil is not to be rotten like you do your grandchildren. That's not what it's talking about. Even though there is some similarities, the spoil is actually the thing that was recovered by the victor. It was the trophies that they got for being victorious over the enemy. And after a war, that they would, once the enemy was slain, then they would go strip the slain. They would go out there, because many of those that would war would bring trinkets with them and hope with them and gold with this and all kinds of stuff with them. Maybe a Lucky's rabbit foot. I don't know. But they had things in there that was of value that they thought maybe would help them in the war. And when they would die, then those victors would go out and literally turn those dead guys over and go through their pockets, their skirts, or what, their helmets. They'd take stuff off their neck, off of their arm, and it was their spoil. It was their trophies to show what they had done. It was like, we have won the war, and I got this in addition to winning the war. Here's the extra that I got. It was called the spoil. And so these were trophies to these men that had fought and risked their own lives so that now they have, at the expense of someone else, they have got their crown. They have got their jewelry. They got their watch. They got their cell phone. They got everything they had. A trophy is the gathering together. Okay, that's what a trophy is. It's the gathering together. But atrophy is the wasting away. Jesus said it best. He said, you're either gathering together or you're scattering abroad. You're either building up or you're withering away, but you're not going to stay the same. You cannot hear the word of the Lord and either grow stronger or get weaker. It is a sword and it'll cut both ways. Amen. When we look at this word spoil, some of the first things we learn about it is actually about tithing, believe it or not. And I'm not here to preach tithing, but it's kind of part of living for God, isn't it? And so when you look at where tithing comes from, it came from Abraham, who was a wealthy man by all rights, but we don't see where Abraham actually tithed until Lot was stolen. And in his quest to go get Lot back, he had to fight five kings. And he fought these five kings, and Abraham just didn't get Lot back. He got the spoil. He got everything that those five kings had. And on the way back, the Bible says, on the way back from the battle, he comes and he presents it unto the Lord, the king of Salem, after the order of Melchizedek, and gives him a tenth of the spoil. That's where tithing comes from. It's what he got from the world, what he got from being victorious. You got up this morning, didn't you? You're victorious. God gave you health to get a job, didn't he? You're victorious. Why would anybody not want to give God back what you have had the victory over? My Lord. And so this is where we first get this idea of giving God back the trophy, the spoil. And it trickled on down to even Jacob, who had been really a conniving kind of guy, tried to get things in an illegitimate way. He wanted a legitimate thing, but he went about it in an illegitimate way. But he came to a time in his life where he finally laid his head on the rock and he woke up after that dream and he said, this is it. He said, if the Lord God will give me food and raiment and peace at my father's house, bring me back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. And I will give him a tenth of all the things that I gain by conquering others, essentially, from the world. And so we find from Scripture in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, who gives you the victory, right? It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Did you see that word? It didn't say sometimes or every once in a while, and in the end, you're going to be victorious. Because too many times we preach, in the end, don't worry, brother, you're going to be. He said, I'll give you houses and land and all this stuff in this life, he said. Amen. In this life. And so he said, he causes us. I couldn't be victorious without him. He causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge in by us in every place. You're showing people the spoil. You're showing them the victory. So they look at you and say, "How, man, how are you doing so well? You know, I know what you live off of, and you make the same I do, and how come you have so much left over?" It's because I've got the victory. Amen. And the Lord gives us the spoil from the world. The Bible tells us that the wealth of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. Give me my stuff and your stuff too. It's like my wife says, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine. Amen. I heard some amens out there from the ladies. The scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than overcomers, right? We overcome by what? The word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Lord, it's going to take Christ. You cannot be an overcomer without the blood of Christ. If he had not died for your sins, his grace, his mercy, you'd never be an overcomer. David knew what it was like to take the spoil, and we'll discover he knew what it was like to be the spoil. We find first when David first took the spoil from him, he was nothing but a shepherd's boy. And his daddy and his brothers just seemingly forgot about him. Samuel had to even ask his daddy, said, do you have any other son? And Brother Peter, not one of them other brothers of his said, what about David, daddy? Have you forgotten about David? He's out. They all knew. And while they were walking in front of him like, I might be the next king, David was out there singing songs to the king. He was out there writing psalms and didn't ever know he would be the king. And God said, that's a man after my own heart. That's the one I want. And the first spoil we see is he slays the giant. He didn't say, I come to you with a sword and a spear and a stave. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now, the Lord's going to give you the victory, right? You don't get anytime you've got trouble, don't go in your own name. You won't win. But go in the name of the Lord. Amen. And when you go in the Lord, there's no enemy that can, if God be for you, who can be against you? And so David come against this giant in the name of the Lord, and he took the spoil. What was it? His head. His head and his sword. That's what he took. And you know what? All of a sudden, when King Saul heard the women dancing with the tambourines, he said, what more can he have than my kingdom? All of a sudden, it's a shakeup in the kingdom over what David did. David knew what it was like to have the spoil. But David knew what it was like to get a trophy. That was a trophy. I mean, that sword was a trophy. He brought that to Achan one time, the king. And that was a dead giveaway where he got that thing from. But he also knew what it's like to not only be a trophy, but atrophy. Atrophy. And we find that David was getting weary because he was anointed to be king, but not yet king. It was like 22 years. That's like telling me, I'm going to be the pastor of Carlos United Pentecostal Church. And then 22 years later, I'm the pastor. I'm old and gray and don't have any hair by the time that. It's like some of y'all, Lord, when are you going to send me somebody? Look at these wrinkles in my eyes and crow's feet and all that. And the Lord said, I promise he's going to give you somebody. It might be in a nursing home. I don't know, but he's going to give you somebody. And so David knew what it's like to just get weary and weary. And so we finally find David at a city called Ziklag. This was not Jerusalem. This was the enemy's camp. And we find him in this city that was given to him by the king there. And rather than fighting against Saul, which he was going to do, one of the guys that was in the war said, that's the guy that killed the giant right there. He said, I'm not fighting. You have to send him back lest he reconciles his difference with his master in the battlefield and turn on us. So the king said, David, he's right. You've got to go home. Well, when David gets ready to go home, there is no home. He sees the city is on fire. And when he gets there, I'm sure he's calling for Bathsheba and all these other wives. They're gone. All of his kids are gone. Everything. David, now listen close, had been stripped. He became the spoil. They took his stuff. And they stripped him of his dignity. Stripped him. And not only that, Brother Valentine, now these 600 men that were so loyal to him began to strip him of even loyalty. They thought of stoning him. And David said, I've let this go too far. Atrophy. When do you catch yourself? When do you go, you know, I'm really not where I need to be in God? I really could do more than I'm doing. Because I'm telling you, you're either going to grow or you're going to go. Grow or go. Because that's what's going to happen. You can sit on the pew. That don't mean you go, but you go up here. You just go. You just pine away. And David realized he had got to the point that atrophy had gotten a hold of him, being lethargic about and excited about what God. Little did he know that while he would be trying to recover his stuff, the battle was going on the other side of the mountain, and Saul was fighting and would die in that battle. And this was his day. And he didn't even know it. And there he is, thinking that they may stone him. And he did the only thing he really knew to do, encourage himself. You need to stop yourself and say, I'm better than this. I am better. My mama raised me better than this. I know better than this. David said, I know. I know better than this. And I don't, it doesn't record a repentant prayer, but I know he did because he prayed. And he called for the ephod, and there he said, Lord, now I know I shouldn't have done what I did. Then if I lose all my stuff, then so be it. He said, but if you tell me to go, I'm going to go. But if you tell me to stay, I'm going to stay. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you. Well, here it is. And David recovered all. The Lord told him, if you will get up and ride one more time. I preached a sermon called Ride One More Time. Just get up one more time because Saul is dead on the other side of the mountain. It is your time and your turn. But if you're going to just say, oh, woe is me, I should have never done this, and not try to recover what you've lost. Some of you got some ground you got to catch up with. You're losing times getting away from you. Lord, I don't want to be older and older and older and go, boy, I wish I could do something for God. And now my health is not allowing me to do it. My mind's not allowing me to do it. You've got to do it while you can do it. And so the Lord told him to pursue. And he said, without fail, you're going to recover all. And David, it says in the scripture here, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And you say, and we sing a good song, and we shout a good song about, I'm going to the enemy's camp, going to get back what he stole from me, going to get back what he stole, and ooh, we're going to get back. You just got back what he stole from you. That's all you got. That's not the trophy. And I'm going to continue to sing the song, but that's all. I just got back what I should have kept anyway. I should have not lost that in the first place. And so, He recovered it all, but and his two wives. Well, good, but let's read on. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great. Okay, I'm getting it all back, just like he said. Neither son nor daughter, nor neither spoil, meaning what they took from him. See, they had spoiled him. So he's getting back what they stole from him, nor anything that they had taken to him. So he had got everything back. David, it says right here, three words, David recovered all. Well, I'm going home. Oh, no. Strip them. And David took all the flocks and all the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. I'm not just getting back my mind and my heart. Now I'm getting back more than I lost. It's time not to settle for what you just lost. Get back more than you lost. But God wants you to strip the slain. It doesn't have to be dead people. That's not what I'm talking about. But anytime you conquer something, get more out of it than just conquering it. Every battle I've ever fought, I just want to say, well, I won. Oh, praise God. I got a black eye, no teeth. I won, though. I got her, boy. You know that old song goes. But I want to get more than I lost. I want to learn from that lesson. I want to learn a lesson from that battle that I took. So he got more back than he lost. This is the sign of victory. Amen. This was something. David began to ride back, and the story goes, and I'll quickly tell you, that when they got to the Beso, I think it was, or whatever the name of it, Bezor, the river, there David had like 200 men that were too tired, and they were wore out, and they couldn't go. So like 400 of them go to conquer the enemy. And here they come back with all this stuff, and David's saying, my stuff. And they get to across the river, and here's 200 of them like, man, we glad to see you. Look at all the stuff. And the 400 said, hey, David, don't give them none of that stuff. Don't share with them because they didn't help us. Is that the way you are? Well, that's no spoil at all. The Lord should have just left it over there. If you're not going to share with the goodness and mercies of God and share the thing God's given you with other people, he gives you the trophy to show off. You don't get a trophy and go put it in your attic. Not at first. Not at first, but after a while, those trophies may go there because they don't mean anything in this world. I got there in the attic. I didn't have the heart to throw some of them away. But the old song, we sang it. At last, all my, what? I lay down trophies. Okay? So we have here that David has been victorious, and they didn't want to share. And he looked at those 200 and said, hey, bud, David's spoil. You wouldn't even have nothing if it hadn't for me. And so David shared with these others the spoil that the Lord, he knew that the Lord had given him that victory. Amen. So we look back now at the city of David. I just want to talk a second about that in 2 Samuel 5 and 7. Because when David did become king, the Jebusites took control of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city, the headquarters, and it still is, right? Aren't they supposed to go back to Jerusalem? Isn't that what the president said? So that was the headquarters. And King Saul had lost the city of Jerusalem. He was losing city after city after city. And so as soon as David became the king, he said, if I don't get that city, there's no need to get the other cities. If you don't have a headquarters, what good is it going to do? And so they made fun of David. David went to the bottom of the mountain there, and they looked at him and said, unless David gets the blind, the maimed, blah, blah, blah. You know the story. Made fun of him. Don't do that. You don't belittle God. Don't do that. And so even though they said that, the scripture says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. Now watch. The same is the city of David. This is David's city. This is the, and many times it's mentioned in the Bible, the city of David. Amen. So this became David's trophy. Do you see what the difference between atrophy and trophy is? David's atrophy was Ziklag. His trophy was Jerusalem, or the city of Zion. So we find in our text that there's a war going on because it was the time of the kings, when all the kings go to battle. And for some unknown reason at the time, David doesn't go, because he's looking out a window. Yeah. And they're out there fighting and all, and he's atrophy. He's supposed to be out there with all the kings and all those that atrophy. What are you supposed to be doing you're not doing? Just think about it. What can you do that you're not doing? Well, I could do that. Why aren't you doing it? Uh-oh. And so here he is, like my dad used to say, lollygagging around. That was the word he used a lot, lollygagging. Good word. I don't know how to spell it, but it sounds good. And while he's playing around, he gets a man killed. See what happens when you don't do the work of the Lord? Atrophy. You start going the wrong way. You're wasting your opportunity. He has a man killed to get his wife, has an illegitimate baby with this person, and Joab's out there fighting. He's fighting. He's pushing back the enemy, and he's trying to take this city from Ammon, and he's fighting them, and he's finally got them where he wants them. And he's like, where's David? Anybody seen David? Well, if he wants this city, he better hurry. Because if he don't hurry, it will be called the city of Joab. Tell him, come quickly. And David said, I come quickly. Joab sent messengers to him, said, I have the city, and if you don't hurry, it'll be in my name and not yours. Well, you can just imagine for a little while that Joab going to walk around with the king of Ammon. It told you how beautiful it was, how much it weighed, and all the jewels on it, and Joab's walking around with it. Who's going to walk around with your crown? Huh? Because you was atrophy. You were doing that other stuff that don't amount to nothing. And so Joab could have been walking around there, and they say, ooh, Joab, how did you get that? I thought David was king. Well, he wasn't here. So I took his crown. Hold fast to that which thou hast, lest another man fight your battle and take your crown. Read this again. Let it sink home with you. And he took their king's crown. David arrived now, Johnny on the spot. Let me add it. The battle's already won. Took the crown. He's going to strip the king. That's what kings did. They stripped each other to show that they had won the war. King's crown off his head, and weight thereof was a talent of gold and precious stone, and it was set on David. It could have been Joab. And he brought forth the spoil of the city with great abundance. They stripped everything out of the city and he shared it with, this is David's spoil. Tonight you will either grow stronger or you will grow weaker, but you won't stay the same. So, well, I go to church. You can sit on church and be weak as water. Colossians 2 and 6. I'm coming to a close quickly. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man strip you. Beware lest you become hell's trophy due to atrophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I remember when I went to college and they had embryology, we had human anatomy, we had comparative anatomy, we had all of these kind of things. And we had philosophy, I had psychology, And a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to expose my kids to that for long. They'll believe that we came from an amoeba. And the more I studied that, the more I believed in God. Hallelujah. So once you really believe this, you can't unbelieve what you already believe, right? Once you believe it, you believe it. And the more I studied that, the more fallacies I saw in it. Amen. You know, sometimes you do need to be exposed to things so you can, you know, you don't conquer the enemy without knowing what the enemy's doing. Him, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete. What else do you need? In him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. David knew, if I'm going to take this city, I'm going to need his might. I'm going to need his strength. I'm going to need his wisdom, because I can't do it on my own. Without Christ, you're bound to atrophy. You look at your picture when you was high school and look at your picture today. You want me to tell the difference between the two? Atrophy. You're not a trophy anymore. Don't marry a trophy wife. She'll be an atrophy wife after a while. We all pine away. But in the spirit, I want to get stronger and stronger and stronger every day so I can say with Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Stronger in the Lord every day. Amen. And I'm closing again with this. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. Oh yes. For them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Do you only think upon the Lord when you need him? That's when a lot of people, you know, they think on the Lord when they really need help. But David said, thy word do I meditate day and night, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, my trophies. Because let me tell you something, the Lord's going to strip this world. He's going to strip this world of all the jewels that's left in it, which is the saints of God. When I make up my jewels, I want to be in God's jewelry box, don't you? And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen. One of these days the Lord's going to come back and he's going to separate this thing all out. Behold, I read this again. I come quickly, as they come this evening, I want to sing a little song or whatever they want to sing, but I want to tell you, by the time you hear he's coming, he's already here, right? He said, behold, get ready, I come quickly. Now, here's what I want you to do. Hold fast. Hold fast. When Paul was teaching even young Timothy and some of them, he said, hold fast to sound doctrine. Amen. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Don't let go of what got us here. Too many preachers are letting go of what got us here. I'm afraid if we didn't know it, if we didn't have the former generation to get us here, and you let this generation try to find it, we'd never find it. I'm just being honest with you. But I'm holding fast to what Grandpa got in 1915. It worked for him. It'll work for me. And it'll work for my kids and my kids' kids. And it'll work to hold fast to that sound tradition that the Lord has given us. And him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. Amen. Amen. Don't let your opportunity waste away. Every one of us here tonight has what we call a golden opportunity. There are people, he said, where much is given, much is required. I would hate to lose my crown to someone that had to walk to church, but they got there, went to every function, paid their tithe, prayed often, was a servant to the house of God. And here I am with what I have and what you have. Well, I worked a little hard today. I'm not feeling too well. And here walking with a headache and tired and bare feet to get to church. And when you get to, if you get to heaven, you go, he got my crown. And the Lord said, yeah, when you was atrophying away, and you, I was just switching it over. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and entered into David. And now who's he need? Now he needs a musician. He needs a magician, but he needs a musician to play. Who can we call? Who is good on the harp that I can get to drive this evil spirit away? And one said, there is a man named David. Oh, go get him. See? And he would play, and the evil spirit. One was atrophying, and the other was building up. If you stand with me tonight, you're in charge of your own life. Your soul, as we said last service, is in your own hands with what you do to it. Amen. And so don't let this opportunity that the Lord has given you to awaken you. What you heard tonight is an alarm clock that just went off. That's what it is. It's an alarm clock that went off. Like David, I lost everything. I got to get back into prayer. I got to do what I know I need to do. And the Lord will help you to regain your strength. That's what he did. He regained his strength and got stronger. As they sing tonight, I wish that you would just raise your hands right where you're at and say, Lord, help me. Amen. Help me, Lord. Wake me up. Let me not sleep the sleep of death, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angel wrote a letter to seven churches. And I think everyone would agree that this church age we're in is the church of Laodicea. Rich, I have need of nothing. Go to church if I feel like it. Pray when I feel like it. Give if I got it. Just, no. Atrophy. I pray, you know, when you think about this, give me two more minutes. When they got ready to cross over into the promises of God, there was a whole bunch of 12 of them spied the land. They all came back with the same report. Yeah, they all said it's just what you said it was. Nevertheless, some of them said, we're too weak. He said, we look like grasshoppers to them, and they look like, they see us as grasshoppers. So they came back and said, we can't do it. Now let me tell you what began to happen. Atrophy. They begin to die off. But the two that had the good report, you know where I'm going, Brother Lamar? When Caleb got to his mountain, and Joshua said, my strength has not abated me. I'm just as strong. Give me my mountain. Amen. This is not just it. God gave me this, and I want everything in the mountain too. He said, you're going to go and drink out of water wells you didn't dig. You're going to get growth. That's the spoil. Yeah. Amen. God said, I'll run the inhabitants out. You're just going to take the spoil. Lord, I don't think you understand how much victory you can have in Christ. It's unlimited. Yes. The only limit is what you put on God. I read a scripture that he can do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or even think. Amen. Oh my God. I hope you walk out of here different. Yes. Wake up and realize that your time is short. Hold fast and add to. Hold fast and add to. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's clap our hands to the Lord before we leave. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Be careful going home. We'll see you Sunday. You get a chance.